Today is the great and joyful feast day of Saint Mary Magdalene. Before we get to Mary herself, I think we can see that part of the appeal of this feast is the appeal of conversion. The story of someone who was in a terrible condition and ended up in a glorious condition. It's the story of victory. The same thing that appeals to us when we learn about Saul, who became Saint Paul, or Saint Augustine, or many other examples. The victory of grace, the unlikely victor over sin, the one who was in an impossible condition, who was not only rescued but made powerful and glorious. That's Mary Magdalene. Her life story goes from one extreme to another, we could say. From being possessed of seven demons or having seven demons to being the first to see the risen Lord and the first to announce the resurrection, even before the apostles saw him. She told them, "I have seen the Lord." So it's a great feast day. In fact, Pope Francis deliberately elevated this feast to a higher rank. That was 10 years ago, 2016, during the Jubilee Year of Mercy. He made the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene on the same level as the Feast of the other evangelists, because she's the first evangelist of the resurrection. Our founder, Father Francis, had a special love for St. Mary Magdalene. He was baptized on this day, July 22nd. He used to tell the story. His father had some difficulty with the church, and so he delayed his baptism until Father Francis was 3 years old. So that was 1928, July 22nd. Okay, let's think about this journey of Saint Mary Magdalene. We don't actually have a lot of the details. The Gospels do say that Jesus freed her from seven demons. Well, Jesus freed a lot of people from a lot of demons, so we don't know exactly what those demons were, how they affected her. The exorcists talk about different levels of involvement with evil spirits. The worst, of course, is demonic possession. We don't know if Mary was possessed, but seven demons sounds pretty bad. Then the exorcists talk about oppression, meaning not that the demons haven't taken over completely, but they're weighing down on a person's soul. And then obsession is another term they use among the exorcism or deliverance ministry when people are caught in sin patterns they just can't get out. Well, Mary Magdalene had something terrible wrong with her, some terrible affliction. The tradition of the church has often put her or identified her as a number of other women in the Gospels who were in terrible situations. Sometimes she's equated with the woman caught in adultery. Sometimes she's the woman who anointed Jesus' feet. The scripture scholars, who are very, very strict about interpreting the scriptures, say no. We're talking about three different women here. But those who ponder the word and are not so strict about all those things say, well, look, Mary Magdalene, in a sense, represents every sinner or every sinful woman or every person with a difficulty, every person with a sin. So the tradition. The old tradition is that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Well, there's nothing in the Gospels that says she was a prostitute, but that's just how the tradition developed from pondering the word. And it's not the bad thing is that it labels Mary Magdalene with a oppressive label. But the good thing is it shows that no matter what condition a person has sunk into, there's a way out. Where is she here? I guess. Yes, that one behind Mary. This one. Mary Magdalene. often depicted in red because in the tradition, a bad woman would be wearing red. Anyway, so there she is in her condition. Did she go to Jesus or did Jesus find her? We don't know. Sometimes people who were possessed were brought to Jesus and he delivered them. Sometimes Jesus went to them because possessed people don't have complete control over themselves. But Jesus came for this very reason. He came to conquer the kingdom of the evil one and to set us free. However it happened, Mary Magdalene experienced this freedom and became one of Jesus' most devoted disciples. She knew the difference between being caught in sin and being set free, between oppression or possession and being free, glorious freedom. And this is why we celebrate her. She represents this glorious freedom that comes with the victory of Jesus Christ. In today's gospel, we always, on her feast day, we always go to her experience on Easter morning, very early Easter morning. And she's a great witness of perseverance. She doesn't even believe that Jesus is risen yet, and she still perseveres at the tomb. Some commentators have said this shows the primacy of love even over faith. We always know faith, we're saved by faith, right? We're saved by faith. But faith and love go together. And in her case, she had faith in who Jesus was, but he had been killed and she saw him on the cross. She knew where he was buried. So she went to the tomb, not because she believed he was risen, but because she loved him. She's a persevering lover. And here she is. It's still dark. She gets there. The tomb is empty. Terrible. Where is he? She goes to the apostles and says the tomb is empty. They go and check it out. They say, yeah, it's empty. And then they go home. She's the one who stays. Why stay at an empty tomb? He's not even there. Well, because she's seeking him. She's searching for him. Longing for him. Or as the psalm says, thirsting for him. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God. You know what happens. She sees the angels. Woman, why are you weeping? I'm weeping because I've lost the Lord. But she sees two angels. That's pretty impressive. It doesn't impress her at all. She sees Jesus but doesn't recognize him. Some people have, commentators again, have said that this is because when we're weeping, our eyesight isn't very clear. So if we allow sorrow to distort our vision, we don't recognize that God is present even in our sorrows. But God reveals himself through our tears and overcomes our sorrows. So anyone who's grieving can can learn a lesson from Mary Magdalene. Sometimes we have to weep because we're overcome with sorrow, but we should never let our sorrows blind us to the presence of Jesus right with us. She doesn't recognize him until he says her name, Mary. And then she realizes, oh, he's right here. He's not absent. He's not dead. He's not far away. He hasn't been taken from me. He's right here. This is the great gift of faith, the conviction that we have by faith. He's here and he's alive. What I experience as loss, as a cause for grief and sorrow, is defeated. He's here. And then once she recognizes him and believes, Jesus sends her to the apostles. Go. Go to my brothers. Tell them I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. This is the proclamation of the good news. That Jesus is not only going to the Father, but he is uniting us with the Father. He's not only going to God, he's uniting us with God. He's not just his God, he's our God. He's not just his Father, he's our Father. It's an extraordinary revelation. So this is what we celebrate. Mary Magdalene is not the only convert in the world. anyone who has been caught in sin or afflicted by evil or overcome with sorrow can identify with Mary Magdalene. We don't have to have dramatic evils, you know, drug addicts and prostitutes, and in order to recognize she represents us. Who's not Mary Magdalene? Who's not overcome with weakness, with sin, with shame, with fear, or whatever other afflictions, vices, doubts, and yet perseverance in love and the gift of Jesus, the gift of faith, overcomes it all. This is described in this first reading, which is actually the second option of the first readings. Sometimes I think it'd be better if we read both of these options. But anyway, today in this Mass, we read the selection from 2 Corinthians, where Paul, who understands this process so well because he went through it himself, Paul talks about what it is here. What kind of a change takes place in us by faith? Well, it's like dying and coming to life. We have come to the conviction that one died for all. Jesus Christ died for me and for all. All have died. He died so that we could live. He died for all so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. Doesn't that describe Mary Magdalene? She doesn't live for herself. She's not at the tomb for her sake. She's entirely dedicated to him. Love, devotion, faith. Then Paul goes on. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. We should all know this and be deeply convinced of it. In Christ, I am a new creation. You are a new creation. In Christ, the reign of sin has been defeated already. Old things have passed away. Now, old things, meaning our old self, our sin-riddled self, our fearful self, or whatever weaknesses we may have, yeah, we still know that. We still know that because we're still here. But that old self has been completely overwhelmed by grace. New things have come. What's the new thing? Jesus himself is the new thing. His risen life is a new thing. His gift of the Holy Spirit, new thing. Life in Christ, life in the Spirit, new thing. It's so much greater than the old that we can't even compare. So Mary Magdalene, she so completely leaves behind whatever her problems were, whatever her bad reputation was, or dealing with evil spirits, she so completely leaves it behind that she is a great apostle now, a glorious example of a witness of the resurrection. So that's why she's an example for us. All of us are sinners, and all of us have been given freedom from sin by the power of Jesus' resurrection. So we ask the intercession of Saint Mary Magdalene for us, for our loved ones, for anyone who's caught in sin or seemingly in a hopeless condition, who's thirsting and not yet finding. Mary Magdalene, great example, great intercessor for every disciple of Jesus.